Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, we talk with people in our community who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Julie Cervantes, creative director behind the annual Dia de los Muertos parade in Waco, discusses her experience as a visual artist and educator, stepping into a leadership role as a community organizer and advocate. Hosting today's conversation is KWBU's community engagement coordinator, Rachel Velasco. This conversation was recorded on the 20th of June, 2024, in the KWBU studio.
Julie Cervantes, thank you so much for joining me today for the Central Texas Leadership Series. We're really happy to have you here in our studio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I really wanted to talk to you about art because you are an artist. So what does that mean? What is, if I say you're an artist, like lots of people are artists, but what does it mean to you?
Honestly, it's my good excuse to say why I'm a hot mess express. But artists, it started out as an outlet for me. I got out of a really bad situation and I had no friends, no community, nothing. And it helped pave this whole new world for me. So I went from living here for a long time, about 10 years, not knowing anyone, and then just started to show my artwork little by little. And now my entire world is built up from just showing my artwork in little hotels and then discovering Creative Waco and this whole amazing community of people who have helped rebuild me in a whole new way.
Wow.
And built me up into who I'm supposed to be now.
Are you originally from Waco or are you from elsewhere?
I am an army brat. So okay. I lived everywhere, which is what's helped play into all my inspirations. I was born in Panama. My mom's from Ecuador. We lived in DC and Germany. In college, my parents moved to Korea, so I'd go visit them there. And we just bing, bang, bonged all over the place. They finally left me in Oklahoma. And then I meandered my way down here to Waco, Texas.
And here you are. And so through that whole process of, you know, moving a lot, being exposed to different cultures, being exposed to different languages, being exposed to different ideas, what made you jump into wanting to become a fine artist? Because that's what you went to school for, correct?
Yes.
So you have a degree in fine arts. So like, what made you decide that art was for you?
Well, I could give you the refined answer or the not so refined.
Give us the not so refined answer. We're all about the truth around here.
So being an army brat, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I was dead set to join the military. And the spring semester of my senior year, both my mom and stepmom were like, you know, you should try college. You're really good at academics. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And I just signed up at our local university there in Oklahoma. And on freshman orientation day, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I'm known for hating lines, and the line for the undecided was way too long. And I looked over and I saw there was no one in line for the fine arts. I'm like, I like art. I'll do that. And that's how I got my degree in art. It turned out to be the most amazing thing ever, and it opened so many things for me. But that's my not so pretty story.
That's a beautiful answer. I think that's so like real life though, Julie. That's how like life happens. And when you set yourself up to be like, sure, I'll try that. Like that's how amazing things come about.
And that's how much our community has provided so many opportunities for me to do things like that. Like where I didn't know what I wanted to do or just tried something out. I got a job as a Spanish teacher, not even having a minor in Spanish. And I was like, well, sure, I'll try it. And this wonderful community has helped me try so many things that I think in a larger, bigger city or somewhere else, I wouldn't have had these opportunities to grow in this way.
That brings me to actually one of my next questions. So you are a working artist. You have work. You've exhibited work here in Waco at different times in different spaces. But you also are an educator. So you taught Spanish, like you said. So you've been in classrooms with students, which I think is an underappreciated form of leadership. Our educators do a lot of work in leadership just in the classroom every day. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how does your art and like your passion for expression, how does that translate into being in a classroom with a bunch of students that are learning a foreign language or whatever else you happen to be teaching at that time?
Oh, no. I did Spanish and art, and now I'm teaching a discovering of languages and culture. Ugh, these people just keep throwing things that feed me. And I'm supposed to be there for the students. it's helped me grow in so many ways because when you have to teach something, you have to know what you're doing. And it just so happens to be things that I'm so passionate about. And when the kids get super excited about it, it's turned me into a monster where I just delve even deeper. And teaching like Spanish, for example, the kids would ask certain questions. We're like, well, why? And anytime they ask why, I'm like, I don't know. Let's dig deeper. And now it's turned me into like an amateur linguist. And then when the district found out about my art background, they asked me to teach Spanish in the morning and art in the afternoon. And that's where things started to even grow even more, was by teaching art to the kids, and they're trying to dig deeper, and me trying to help them find the why helped me discover it even more. One of the pieces I did, it was like a fragmented cubist piece, and I did that as a challenge for the students to practice the contrast from lights to darks. And I asked them, all right, guys, let me show you. You can pick any subject and you could paint it. And they gave me the challenge of doing the silos. I said, okay, we could do this. And I painted it. And not much longer later after that, Fiona Vaughn with Creative Waco was having the Waco 52 show and saw that piece. And it was a featured piece. And it just came from an experimentation to do with my students to show them you could show anything and find symbolism behind it. And that started that whole new world.
That's such a cool like connection, right? And that's what I think is so cool about the community here in Waco, is there's connections around every corner. And I think you are just like a great living example of that. And so let's run with that a little bit, because you got involved with Creative Waco. And then I know that you've taken a huge role in starting something that's really become a community connection point here in Waco, and that is the Dia de los Muertos parade and the event. And so you actually run the parade. Like, this is a Julie Cervantes thing. How did that come to be?
Well, I had a big art show at Cultivate 712. It was my big Cervantes when I changed my name to my grandmother's name, and it was just all about my journey. And then my friend, Roxana, she also had her big fashion show. And it was a week afterwards, and we were lamenting, Nancy, Roxana, and I at my house on a random Wednesday night. And we're like, well, what are we going to do now? We don't have this to feed us. So all of a sudden, I was like, let's do a Day of the Dead parade. And right away, they jumped on it. So I gave them the idea, but they were the movers and shakers. And they knew all sorts of people to connect us with. And our very first year, which is right coming outside of the pandemic in 2021, we ended up having about 10,000 people at that event. And it was glorious. This is our fourth year running it. And now we're shifting the theme. So last year we had the Katrina, and now this year we're going to do the monarch butterflies.
Oh, wow.
And the symbolism behind that. And it's going to be monarchs and marigolds. And the community has embraced us in so many ways, and it just keeps growing every year. We also collaborate with Eric, and this is all under the umbrella of Creative Waco. And Eric runs the festival and the music and all the vendors, and I get to just delve into the parade. And last year we had 50 different groups in the parade, and we're finally going to have to put a cap.
Wow, it's grown.
It has grown so much.
I think that that's an indication of the hunger that the community has to be a part of these things that have this like cultural significance, but also a way to become part of a community, right? Like, so we use that word community so much, but I think really what community means is knowing your neighbor and knowing about their culture and about their histories and their stories. And that's what's so beautiful about this particular event that you guys have put on, because you have done this with open arms and invited the entire community to come and celebrate something that really is a very specific cultural tradition. So will you tell us a little bit about that cultural tradition of what celebrating Dia de los Muertos, what does that actually mean?
Dia de los Muertos, now it's celebrated differently depending on where you're at, and it's evolved so much in such a short time frame. Most commonly, it's known being celebrated in Mexico, but it's celebrated in different parts of the Hispanic world. It's celebrated in Guatemala, El Salvador, Ecuador, Colombia. They just do it in different degrees. Originally, it stems off of All Saints Day, and it was a combination of indigenous people, the Aztecs and the Mayas, and then we have All Saints Day, and it was just kind of a conglomeration of the two. And it was really a private event. It was something where you just honored your loved ones that had passed, send an ofrenda in your house. But in the 20th century, it has grown now to be a big public event, and where people now come together and they celebrate it outwardly. So it has evolved from being very private to now people just celebrate and just honor the people that have passed away. So parades have only been around since, I want to say, late 1900s, 1980s, 1990s.
Okay.
And And the first Day of the Dead parade in Mexico City wasn't celebrated until after the movie Spectrum.
Really?
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of, and it was intentional. The Travel Bureau of Mexico, they knew what they were doing when they partnered with the Spectre James Bond series, and they knew this would help draw people and help create that motivation to learn more about their holiday. But yeah, the parades are very recent in history for Día de los Muertos.
That is fascinating. I just assumed it was always part of the tradition, but that goes to show, like, you shouldn't assume anything. Like, finding out the truth and the history and understanding why we celebrate what we celebrate is really important. So you mentioned a word that maybe all of our listeners aren't familiar with. So you said that in this tradition that you may have something in your home called an ofrenda. What is that? And if you're hearing about this, you know, in the conversations around Día de los Muertos, what does that mean?
Ofrendas a lot of times are where people set up, and again, it varies depending where you're at, but oftentimes it's a little spot in your home that you set up, usually on a table, and you put the tablecloth and you have candles, you put an image or a photograph of the family member, anything that might hearken good memories of them, like a book that they read or their favorite hairbrush, whatever it is. It's just something where you set up and you just get to pay homage to them, and Just it's a time to really reflect and remember their lives and honor their lives. And it's not supposed to be a sad time where it's supposed to involve a lot of grief. It's just supposed to just remember that beautiful time that they were alive and how they were able to touch you or touch the world.
So it's really a celebration of the life.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. So let's go back now to, you know, so you had this idea. We're going to put together this parade. You got involved with the folks at Creative Waco. And they're putting on a festival, and then you've spearheaded this effort to make the parade happen. And as you mentioned, it's grown so much. What was that process like for you as a person, like deciding, okay, I'm going to do this? And you had help, obviously, but it took that leap of faith on your part to like say, all right, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to say I'm the one that's ready to take this on. What was that process like for you?
Well, it was a team effort. Just a lot of people have so many other things going on. And I'm one of those people on the group project. If a lot of people are stepping forward, I'll back away. But if it looks like things are not getting done, then I'll be like, okay, I'll step up to the plate. But again, our community has helped create this monster of me, of being able to just jump right into things. I think if I was in any other situation, I would not have been emboldened to jump in. And right away, our first year, there's some bumps in the road, like sure. This is right out of the pandemic, concerns about COVID, especially the Delta variant that was around at the time. And we had people were questioning about some appropriation, and we had all sorts of obstacles, but so many people made it so easy and just gave me the reins and let me just kind of clear the path. And it's just crazy when people let you, allow you to do this and then listen and then just keep on growing you. That's the main reason why I'm able to do all this. It's just because I have wonderful people who've just trusted me to do so many things. And again, they've created a monster. So that's on
you
them.
Say that. I'm not sure how monstrous you are, Julie. You seem like a pretty fantastic human.
You'll think that until you see the crazy amount of emails I send reminding right. people, like, don't forget, like, this lady again, quit emailing me.
No, that's what makes it happen. Those things are what make it happen. And that this just goes back to that question about leadership, right? Like, it takes somebody being willing to say, okay, well, I'm going to be the one that's going to wrangle this whole thing together. But why do you think leadership in the arts and culture scene here in Waco, like, why is that important to you personally?
Personally, it's important because so many times our society, our culture, when it comes to art, so many people look on it as just a hobby and just something that's just a nice aside. And when you look throughout history, art has so much and can speak volumes and has inspired revolutions and so many ideas that we need people to help create that segue. And Creative Waco is a wonderful example of that. They are the mouthpiece to create a link between arts and our community and businesses. And we need more people to be able to vocalize the importance of the arts and not let it run to the wayside.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And so you say, you know, we need more people to step forward. What do you hope to see out of this next generation of leaders that are coming up behind you? I mean, I'm sure you work with people, you know, students, obviously, in the schools, but also so many volunteers come together to help the event come together and the work that you've done just as an artist. What do you hope to see from the generation that's coming up behind you?
I'm seeing so many motivated people in the younger generations, and they really impress me. I've been able to work with the Art Apprenticeship Group, where I help the young artists, the mentors from the Waco ISD School District, and we create a mural. And these kids are impressive. I look at them, and I was no way in my thought patterns, my skill sets, at the age that I was when they were there. They're way ahead, leaps and bounds. And I think it helps that we have technology, that they could already learn this on their own and grow it on their own time. Where me, I had to go to the library, I guess. Or
imagine that. What's a library, Julie?
I don't know. Do they still exist? But they could just, they have such easy access. And these kids, these young adults, they've already surpassed me from where I was. So I'm excited to see what they have around the corner, and I could see them really taking things. And they're not afraid to vocalize and question and demand answers versus my generation, or at least how I grew up, not so much. I was very mild, meek, and wouldn't take initiative. But a lot of these younger ones, they're not afraid and to ask and demand.
That's amazing. I think what you said there is that they're not afraid to ask. And that there's so much power in just asking questions and finding out other people's perspectives. And so to hear you say the young people that you're working with, you're seeing that coming out in them and that they're willing to kind of put themselves out there. Like you said, they're not meek and mild sometimes. They're really, they want to know information and they want to be involved. And when we're creating community like we're talking about here, that's really what it's about, right? It's hearing the stories of the people around you. As awareness continues to grow around Dia de los Muertos and this cultural significance of the event and the holiday, what would you want the greater Waco community to know about getting involved or about understanding the cultures of other folks that live in the community that you live and work in?
We would just love for people to come out and just be able to be present and be able to experience how other people look at life in general. Life and death is something our culture tends to shy away from, and other cultures, they're not afraid to just bring it to their faces. But just attending is the first step. But if volunteers, we always could use, like you helped out on the parade, and you got to see all the chaos behind it. And but people could get involved in the parade if they're in part of a club or organization. They could sign up to be in it. Or we even have a section of the parade where it's called the Novios, and it's for anybody who just wants to be part of it, but they don't have a group. It's just a group of people who walk in it, and they get to play a part.
I love that so much. So it's a place for people who maybe feel like they don't have a place to plug in.
Exactly. And we've met so many wonderful people from that. Our first year, we had two ladies, Samara and her name's slipping from my head right now. Oh, I'm so sorry. She's going to be so mad at me later. I'm going to call it nerves. But they were part of the Novios section. And long story short, a lot of the Novios people hadn't shown up until way later. So they dressed so amazingly wonderful. That's, you know what? You guys look impeccable. Why don't you hold the sign and lead the parade?
Oh, wow.
And now every year since then, they lead the parade starting out. And it is amazing. And every year they plan 6 months in advance what their costume's going to look like or how they're going to be dressed. And yeah, they lead the parade every year for us. So what started off as them just wanting to just participate, now they get to get the whole thing started.
That's really cool. So, I mean, you just picked them out of the group, basically, and you said, oh, you guys look amazing. Like, let's give you this role. And I think, Julie, that's something that a real leader does for the community is recognizes and pays attention. And so that's such a lovely example of how you are stepping out in leadership in the community right now. And so to bring that back, because, you know, our whole series here is talking about leaders who are leading in unexpected ways in our community. And I think this idea of using art as the medium through which you're leading is something we don't maybe talk about as often as we could, because it takes a lot of bravery to be an artist. It takes a lot of willingness to put yourself out there And those are skills that are transferable to folks, whether they're artists or not, when they're looking at leadership roles. So I'd just love for you to talk a little bit about how did you gain enough confidence in yourself to feel comfortable doing that, saying, this is my art, this is who I am, and this is how I'm going to serve my community.
Oh, gosh, yeah, definitely. And my art is very personable. So I usually feel like I have to have a message that is displayed. And there's either a story or there's something cultural behind it. And I just got to start off in little hotels, and then it continued to grow. We started to get more galleries around town. Everybody was accepting. If I try to do this in a big city, I would be beating at doors and not getting any results. But it was so easy to get results here. And so many people just empowered me that I was able to just grow from there. And then just grow that community of people who just kept feeding into me. So now we have the Day of the Dead Parade. I got to be project manager for the Chalk Festival, which gave me wonderful skills in that aspect. And now even my school district, they've seen this combination of the arts and the languages, and they've created this course called Discovering Languages and Culture. And in that, I'm learning a lot about, we're going to do French, Arabic, Russian, Spanish, and Japanese.
Wow.
And already I've got my wheels turning because I know how wonderful our community is that I'd love to set up a cultural arts festival.
Wow.
And have the kids, because we have such a diverse community. People don't really realize it. I'd love to set up a big old festival and working alongside our community. And not just have this something at the school, but just like blow it up and have so many people. So we can realize we're a large, diverse populace right here in Waco.
Yeah, I think that's what you just said. We are a diverse populace. There's so many different folks with different worldviews, different cultural backgrounds, different languages that are represented right here in Waco. And so giving opportunities for those cultures and languages and experiences to be shared, it's a really important part of building a community that's really actually a strong community. And that's what we want in our cities and our towns. We want that sort of strong lean on each other. And I've heard you talk about this throughout our whole interview today, how it was other people that empowered you. And it was constantly other people pouring into you and giving you that encouragement. And so how do you see yourself doing that for others?
Oh, no. It's so easy. Now that I could see the value of this, and I see so many people who are curious about things, and right away, it's, if anything, they're probably like, okay, stop, lady, I can't. Back down there. But there's so many people who have ideas, and I just love to tell them about the resources, the people, the connections, and I'm constantly encouraging people to just network. I know it's a word people use all the time, but it's so valuable. And we have such an inclusive community. It's not hard to get the groundwork laid for all of this, because we do. We have a really inclusive community that wants to see people succeed. And that's where I've just gotten so lucky in so many ways.
I love that you said that, because I'm sure we have folks listening at home or wherever they are right now. They're listening and they're going, I'd love to be involved, but I don't know how to get started. I don't know really what I want to be involved in. And you said this magic word of networking, which can sound very scary. You know, oh, well, there's a mixer, or there's an event that some group is putting on, and it's open to the public and you can come meet people. And that's terrifying to walk into a room with a bunch of people that you don't know. What tips would you give somebody who's thinking, okay, now's the time, I want to get involved, but I don't know how to start? What would you tell them?
I just say get out to any events. We have so many things on social media that there's a lot of mixers. Even Creative Waco has the Arts Alliance mixer, and I've met so many wonderful people there who, long story short, we're connected in one way or another, and they're like, oh, you're doing this? Well, I know someone who's doing this, or I also am included to do this. And grow from there and just do so many collaborations. But just get out there. You could go on any of the social medias, follow people on Instagram, and then just whenever you see an opportunity to get out to these events, get there. If anything, you'll just have a good time and find good people. But it's just amazing how many wonderful people. Katie Selman and Jacob Green from Keep Waco Loud, where we've collaborated on things, and we've become fast friends from all that. Fiona Bond and Eric Linares and our connections with Creative Waco, and the list goes on. And then even getting to meet you just with our connections, and me meeting Beth Richards from one of these art mixers, and just it grows into things like this.
So our very own Beth Richards, who is one of our beautiful voices of the station, so that's who you're referring to, and having met her at a creative arts event, and then being involved in the scene that she's very involved in theater, which is another art outlet. But like you said, that's the power of community, and that's the power of just putting yourself out there to meet new people. So it's really just an opportunity to go in, introduce yourself, and just find out what's happening so that you can find ways to get yourself plugged in. So as we're kind of wrapping up our time together, there's a couple of more things that I'd like to ask you. So you've told us about a little bit about your background and how you sort of ended up doing all the things that you're doing. But what do you see coming next? Like, what's coming down the pipe for Julie? I know you're still very much involved with the Día de los Muertos parade and all of the things that are going around that. But, you know, professionally as an artist, or what else do you have up your sleeve? I know you mentioned that maybe a cultural arts fest or some sort of coming together of different cultures. But like, what are your hopes and dreams for the next year?
Oh, for the next year? Well, right
or
now,
beyond. Oh, yeah. It's an open-ended question.
The thing is, and again, so many people have encouraged me in all things that I get to toggle between all sorts. I get to toggle between languages, and I'm in grad school right now for the teaching of languages. Emphasis in Spanish, so constantly dealing with that. And that's where I met a whole community of people who are willing to speak to me in Spanish and help me grow in that realm. And then my art's always going to be there. It ebbs and flows. So when I get burnt out on that, I always have something else to go back on. I've been studying human resources so I could challenge myself in a different world. I love the kiddos, but I've been in education for, this will be year 19. I'm ready to challenge myself in other ways and start branching out to different aspects, and then continue what we have going in Waco. Waco, if anything, we're ready for leaders, and they are ready to help foster them and grow them. And if you want to just try it, I think you're in a good place to help dip your toe in the water.
That's amazing. I love to hear that you are like branching out. I think that's something, another point to kind of like underscore this conversation about leadership, is that leaders are rarely just comfortable where they are. They're always looking to gain new skills, and they're always looking to meet new people and learn from them. And so, you know, as you're out in the community doing this work, working with students, working, you know, through your art, when you meet new people, what are you looking for to learn from other leaders or from other people that you meet?
Everything and anything they have.
No, I want to know it all right now.
Give it to me now. And that's the wonderful thing, is so many people are willing to talk to you about what their strengths are and help grow you in that aspect. I could say I was the shyest thing ever when I had my first art
show.
No
way.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't believe that, Julie.
I know. I'm now, again, this monster grew. My first art show here in Waco ever was a Day of the Dead art show with Rocio Ramirez. And she helped encourage me to be in it. She showcased one of my pieces, which was a really personal thing that I had lost a daughter, and I had did a painting about her, and she just encouraged me in all the ways. But at that art show, I had to have my mother speak for me. Wow. And I was too shy to speak to people. But from there, people just kept encouraging me, and then they kept finding me more opportunities. And now I just continue to yap all the time, and you're just going to have to put your hand over my mouth to get me to hush. But so many people have helped me, and so I was so scared to get out there and talk. But now I've had so many opportunities to speak in front of people, whether it's from in the classroom to where I push myself in these leadership conferences, breakout sessions that I challenge myself to just present. So I've had so many things that have pushed me, whether it's teaching the classroom and being in front of students to present information. And they were great because they're younger, so I didn't feel as criticized. But then I got to grow and do these breakout sessions. And it was as simple as me reading a book and presenting the information just to push myself to get braver about talking and being confident to speak in front of people. And from there, it grew to Create a Waco giving me roles as project manager for the Chalk Waco Festival and director for Day of the Dead, and having to talk with people. And from there, it's just been little nudges here and there to, again, I yammer on so much that you just have to put your hand in front of my mouth to hush me up now.
Well, we would never, because you have such beautiful things to share. And one of my favorite parts about this series and getting to talk to so many different interesting people is the light that they shine out. Whatever the topic is we're talking about, I can see the passion that you have for not just the work that you do, but also for the people that you're doing this work for. Because without the community, I mean, what's the point of the work, right? And so I'm just very grateful for your time today. Thank you for coming in and sharing your vision, your excitement. I mean, those things are contagious. And so we look for great things from you here in our community. And just thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Central Texas Leadership Series is a production of KWBU. To hear this and previous episodes, head to the Programs tab on kwbu.org.